We may be Jews, but our marriage between Israel and American Jewish community is a Catholic marriage. There is no divorce.
This is Persona Grata, the official podcast of the Israel Ministry of Foreign Affairs. I'm your host, Tamar Schwartzbard. The United States is one of Israel's most important and closest allies. As Israel's representatives who are on the ground, Israeli diplomats play a central role in strengthening ties between Israel and the U.S. This week, we'll hear from Dani Dayan, who is currently serving as the Consul General of Israel in New York. Consul General Dayan will discuss some of the issues and topics at the forefront of the U.S.-Israel relationship. We'll also hear Dayan's view on the current state of anti-Semitism in the U.S. in the aftermath of the deadly Pittsburgh synagogue shooting on October 27th, in which 11 members of Pittsburgh's Jewish community were brutally shot dead. Consul General Dayan, thank you so much for joining us today.
A pleasure to be with you.
Dani Dayan is not your typical diplomat. For starters, he's not a career diplomat. Born in Buenos Aires, Argentina, Consul General Dayan moved to Israel with his family at the age of 15. He began his career as an entrepreneur, founding the high-tech company Elad Systems in 1982. Dayan eventually sold his shares in the firm in 2005 and began a prolific career in Israeli politics and international affairs.
I was born in Buenos Aires, Argentina. I made Aliyah when I was 15. That was in 1971, almost 50 years ago. Today I'm 63. I'm not a career diplomat. I would say this is my, at least the third or fourth chapter in my career. I was 7.5 years in the IDF. I initiated my own company when I was in my 20s, and I sold my interest there in 2005, and then went into public life until the day that Prime Minister Netanyahu asked me to take this position here in New York, which I must admit that I gladly accepted.
While Dayan is not a career diplomat, life has an interesting way of working itself out. Things came full circle for Dayan, who dreamed of being a diplomat since he was a child.
You know, when you ask a child what does he want to do when he's a grown-up, when he's an adult, the usual answers are firefighters or policemen. My answer was ambassador to the UN.
But Consul General Dayan isn't just any consul general. He is responsible for one of Israel's most important missions around the world. Since 2016, Dayan has served as the Consul General of Israel in New York, Israel's largest mission worldwide, representing the State of Israel in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Delaware.
We are the largest diplomatic mission of Israel in the world. As every other diplomatic representation, our goal, if I have to put a banner in front of my eyes and my staff's eyes, is to garner support for the State of Israel, obviously. That's the reason we are here. Even more so that we do not represent Israel to a government, but more to a civil society. And I would say that I can divide our work into two main sections. Our being the liaison of the State of Israel to the Jewish community of the United States of America, and the second, to the non-Jewish communities.
While Consul General Dayan represents Israel to five U.S. states, his influence extends much further, particularly because 45% of American Jewry is concentrated in the area which his consulate represents.
I say United States of America, not only New York, because in the territory we cover, there are roughly 45% of the American Jewry resides. And B, because even more important than that, the national headquarters of most major Jewish organizations are located in New York. Therefore, we are the liaison not only with New York, but with the U.S. Jewry in general.
The relationship between the State of Israel and American Jewry is a historic one, going back to 1917, when Louis Brandeis established a Zionist movement in America which had more than 200,000 members. More than 100 years later, ties between Israel and American Jewry are unbreakable, an important foundation of the U.S.-Israel relationship.
I wasn't aware of the fact that in virtually every synagogue in the United States, whether it's Reformed, Conservative, or Modern Orthodox, there are two flags, the American flag and the Israeli flag with the Star of David. Now, that's not obvious. What I'm saying is that the solidarity of the Jewish community, of the organized Jewish community with Israel is staunch, is robust, even if there is, and no doubt there is, criticism of some of our policies. But, you know, the first thing I said when I came to New York is that you can't criticize Israel and still be pro-Israel. You don't have to agree to the policies of certain government to be pro-Israel. The problem I have, even with certain Jewish publications in this country, is when they give platforms not to those that criticize Israel's policies, but those that criticize or oppose Israel's existence. That is to cross a line. That's a litmus test. And in some instances, so that red line is crossed. But I wouldn't say that's the rule. I think that's the exception. You know, when I arrived to New York in the summer of 2016, the first thing I did is two consecutive breakfasts in my residence, one with Reform and Conservative rabbis, the following day with the Jewish liberal leaders, progressive leaders, including everyone that recognizes Israel's existence. They want Israel to exist, obviously. We say in Hebrew, Anashim Achim Anachnu, we are brethren. That this consulate irradiates. You know, I always tell here my Jewish audiences that we may be Jews, but our marriage between Israel and American Jewish community is a Catholic marriage. There is no divorce. We may need marital counseling sometimes, but we are one family and there is no divorce in this family.
The marriage between the State of Israel and American Jewry is one in which both entities are committed to supporting and strengthening one another. This relationship has proven itself time and time again. Whether during the Six-Day War, when more than 50,000 American Jews rallied outside the White House to voice their support for Israel, or recently, in the aftermath of the Pittsburgh massacre, the worst attack on American Jewry in the history of the United States. On Saturday, October 27th, the Jewish Day of Rest, a gunman stormed into the Tree of Life Synagogue and brutally shot 11 Jewish worshippers. Consul General Dayan was one of the first officials to arrive in Pittsburgh in the aftermath of the attack.
The moment we heard the news about the horrendous events in Tree of Life Synagogue in Pennsylvania, we engaged in emergency mode. I was actually in Phoenix, Arizona, in the Jewish conference there. My Deputy Consul General, Israel Nitzan, immediately took control of the situation and mobilized all of the staff, the consular department. There were two Israelis that we didn't have contact with them and we feared for their fate. Fortunately, both of them are all right. I met them both in Pittsburgh later. The media department, logistics, traveling, etc. I myself caught a flight that very same Shabbat from Phoenix to Pittsburgh. I arrived to Pittsburgh close to midnight, the day of the massacre. My staff wanted to take me to rest to the hotel, but I really couldn't. I asked to go to the site. It was quite depressing. It was raining, dark night. Outside the shul were FBI agents, policemen, and a line of Chevra Kadisha, ultra-Orthodox Jews, waiting to enter the scene in order to respectfully remove the bodies of the martyrs, I can say. I stayed in Pittsburgh for the next 48 hours, Sunday and Monday. I was joined by Minister Bennett and Ambassador Dermer also. We immediately, I think that's what one of the most important things that we did, we arranged immediately a departure of a crew, a team of psychologists and social workers from Israel, of the Israeli Trauma Coalition. They arrived already on Monday. Monday noon, they were already on site in Pittsburgh.
America has been a safe haven for Jews since the country's founding. In the aftermath of the Pittsburgh shooting, there has been a growing number of anti-Semitic incidents reported by Jewish communities across the country.
So there is a rise in violence in America. There is a rise in polarization in America. And yes, it influences, no doubt, the Jewish community. I want to say the big question is if this was an isolated event, a terrible event. Not only the biggest in America, I think it was the biggest anti-Semitic attack in the world, if we do not count the terror in Israel since the Amia bombing in Buenos Aires in 1994. But if, on the other hand, God forbid, there are going to be copycats or other incidents of this nature, then no doubt it will be a watershed moment for American Jewry.
In the aftermath of the Pittsburgh massacre, there are many individuals who have started to question the fine line between freedom of speech and hate speech. The gunman responsible for the horrific attack had a history of using anti-Semitic speech on Twitter. While free speech is the basic tenet of any democracy, the line between hate speech and free speech is becoming more and more blurry.
I am a foreign diplomat. I have to be very cautious if and when I speak about the First Amendment. I have to be very cautious if and when I speak about the Second Amendment. But I would like to say a word about the First Amendment in this case. In most European countries, and Israel, which are democracies, robust democracies, the freedom of hate speech is not covered by law. For instance, I will give you two examples. Charlottesville, waving Nazi flags on the streets of a town in Israel, but not only in Israel, in most European democracies, is forbidden. Here is permitted. Mm-hmm. The second example, when Louis Farrakhan, which is not just an individual, he's a leader that has many, many followers, that he influences their actions, calls Jews termites. In most European countries, democracies, and in Israel, that would be breaking the law. Here it is permitted. Mm-hmm. So, the First Amendment, which, again, very important piece of legislation, but it's very, very extensive. Again, as a foreign diplomat, I don't judge. I just state the facts.
Unfortunately, in recent years, hate speech against Jews and other forms of anti-Semitism have been masked as anti-Zionism.
I called several times on American institutions of high learning, and not only them, to adopt the International Holocaust Remembrance Authority's definition of anti-Semitism and to forbid anti-Semitism that disguises itself as anti-Zionism on campus and in other places in America. I think that today there is more openness to listen to that demand, but we are not yet there.
College campuses have become a very hostile and often unsafe environment for thousands of Jewish and pro-Israel students across America. These students have faced physical violence, threats, and intimidation from anti-Israel groups. Consul General Dayan's daughter, Ophir, who is currently studying at Columbia University in New York, has been harassed and threatened by anti-Israel activists. Her experience is just one of the many of Jewish and pro-Israel students across American college campuses.
You know, I remember one instance in which I spoke in one of the colleges and it was heckled and disturbed by some anti-Israeli activists there. And then the president of that institution called me and I told him, Mr. President, believe me, I am not worried about my First Amendment right. I have innumerable venues and news outlets in which I can express myself. I'm also not worried about my physical security. I am very well protected by our Israeli security team. But I am definitely worried about the First Amendment rights and the physical security of pro-Israel activists in campus. And the way that they are now being silenced is by intimidation. That is an infringement, a violation of the First Amendment. That is a danger to their physical security. And we expect and we demand from campuses, from administrations in institutions of higher learning to be more active. I must commend specifically Columbia University. Last week, there was an event on anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism in campus organized by the American Zionist Movement. And Columbia dispatched to that event a senior vice president to listen.
While Consul General Dayan and his staff place a large emphasis on working with the Jewish community and supporting Jewish and pro-Israel students on college campuses, they're also dedicated to building ties with the Latino community.
The Hispanic, the Latino community, that is the fastest growing community in this nation, is a community that is not yet deeply involved in foreign affairs issues. Its relationship with Israel is not formed yet. So we decided to, first and foremost, concentrate on the Latino community. We devote to that a large part of our efforts, our budget, and work.
Consul General Dayan is the first Latino-Israeli Consul General in New York. Fluent in Spanish and well-immersed in Latino culture from his time in Argentina as a child, Dayan has made it a priority to create ties with New York's Latino community.
I obviously speak fluently Spanish, and it helps. It helps a lot, no doubt. We have extraordinarily close relations with the Latino leadership in this city, in this area, in the areas we cover, and relationships that prove themselves when we needed them. We work very intensively with the Latino communities through our work in Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico is covered by our Consulate General in Miami, but in coordination, in close coordination and cooperation with our Consulate General in Miami, we do a lot of work in Puerto Rico that has huge repercussions in New York, in the Puerto Rican community, Dominican community, in the Latino community here. For instance, as we speak, Deputy Consul General Israel Nitzan is leading a delegation in Puerto Rico to the town of Patias in southern Puerto Rico, where an Israeli NGO, Israel, built an energy-free water purification unit. And hundreds of New Yorkers, most of them from Puerto Rico descent, are seeing what Israel does for Puerto Rico, and that has enormous repercussions here in New York.
In addition to working with the Latino community, Consul General Dayan does a lot of outreach to millennials, because the young people of today are the future partners of the State of Israel.
The millennials, I must admit that for me personally, is the harder to crack, to know how to deal with that. But luckily for me, I had a lot of millennials in my staff that are very, very able and very, very talented and helping with that.
One of the ways that Consul General Dayan is reaching millennials is through Twitter, a platform which is the main news source for many millennials. 40% of U.S. adults who use Twitter are between the ages of 18 and 29 years old. That's more than any other age group.
Well, first of all, I must admit I am addicted. I am addicted to Twitter. I open my day with browsing the Twitter feed before I go to sleep. I browse my Twitter feed and I tweet quite a lot. I have two accounts, one in Hebrew and one in English. The Hebrew account, I started it before I dreamt that I will be here in New York. I will be a diplomat. I have more than 50,000 followers there. I see it today more as a personal account than a professional one. I opened the English one when I started to work here in New York 2 years ago. I'm approaching the 8,000 followers. I usually tweet at least 2, 3, 4 tweets a day, mainly about my activity, but also opinions. Opinions, obviously, as a diplomat, you know, I sometimes say that being a novice diplomat, I am a diplomat only since August 2016, I feel sometimes that it's the first time Susan was honorably discharged from the army that I am not completely free to say everything I want to say as a diplomat, but still I think I have a latitude and I have a large ground to express myself. And I think that in my Hebrew account, I sometimes, I must admit, I hope no one listens to us, I sometimes cross a line, probably, that I would say career diplomats wouldn't do. But from the bottom of my heart, I believe that the state of Israel is right and is doing the right things and is the just side in the conflict. But, you know, I don't have conflicts of conscience in expressing myself as a diplomat that I can't as a free person.
While Mr. Dayan is very active on Twitter, he also knows that digital diplomacy does not and should not stand alone. It's a valuable tool meant to be used in tandem with traditional diplomacy. Consul General Dayan works very closely with political and governmental officials across the aisle to strengthen ties between Israel and the United States. In an age where American politics are particularly decisive, support for Israel is one of the only bipartisan issues.
I think that Israel is a bipartisan cause in American politics. By the way, one of the very few bipartisan issues on American politics, because as you know, abortion is partisan here, gun control is partisan here, healthcare is partisan here, tax cuts are partisan here. And lately, you know, I sometimes joke that lately even the weather became partisan in this country, because there is a dispute, an argument, whether global warming, no global warming. Israel is still a bipartisan issue in American politics, and we have to make every effort in our hands to keep it that way. People say, you have a relation which is too close with the Republican administration, with the current Republican administration, and that hinders your support with the Democrats. But what I say very frequently is, look, Israel's strategy is to be as close as possible, to have an intimate relationship what's possible with any American administration. Obviously, we need two to tango. It takes two to tango. We need also a willingness by the administration to engage in an intimate relationship. It's a question if the previous administration wanted that or not. I will not now get into that. But no doubt that if there was a Democratic administration now in Washington, we would make exactly the same effort to have intimate relations, close relationships with that Democratic administration as we have with the current one. The American people elected this administration, and we obviously work with administration that the American people elected as close as we can.
Consul General Dayan recently celebrated 2 years as Israel's Consul General to New York. Although Mr. Dayan is far from home, the similarities between Israel and New York have made him feel right at home in New York City.
New York is incredibly diverse. Actually, I think there is no majority today in New York. New York is today a mosaic of minorities. And Israel, you know, that's one of the misperceptions of Israel as a homogeneous society. We Israelis know how diverse our country is, how different Tel Aviv is from Jerusalem, and how different types of culture we have in Israel. I think that diversity is one of the hidden similarities between Israel and New York.
But while Consul General Dayan and his staff highlight Israel's diversity in telling the story of the Jewish state, he does not shy away from the less colorful and more challenging components of Israeli diplomacy. He sees it as his mission to tackle the Israeli-Palestinian conflict head-on and to share Israel's narrative with the world.
I think that you cannot garner support by sweeping under the carpet issues that are problematic or there are different opinions about. When I arrived, we continued with what I refer to as Israel beyond the conflict, the culture. I am a great supporter of culture as a diplomatic tool, the incredible economy that Israel, the innovation that Israel displays. I devote a lot of time to that. But I never hide core issues of Israel diplomacy, mainly Iran, the conflict with the Palestinians, our geopolitical relationships with the Arab countries and with other countries. Subjectively, I believe that we do it in the right way.
On that final note, Consul General Dayan, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Listeners can follow Consul General Dayan on Twitter at Ambassador Dani Dayan. Next episode, we'll hear from Yaakov Finkelstein, who is currently serving as Israel's Consul General to Mumbai. Consul General Finkelstein will talk about the growing ties between Israel and India through the Bollywood industry. So what happens when Israel, the promised land, meets Mumbai, the city of dreams? You'll have to listen to find out.